Please turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 5. Begin reading at verse 9, if you would please stand. First Timothy 5, verse 9. Do not let a widow under 60 years old be taken into the number, and not unless she has been the wife of one man, well reported for good works, if she has brought up children, if she has lodged strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has relieved the afflicted, if she has diligently followed every good work. But refuse the younger widows, for when they begun to grow wanton against Christ, they desire to marry, having condemnation because they have cast off their first faith. And besides, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not. Therefore I desire that the younger widows marry, bear children, manage the house, give no opportunity for the adversary to speak reproachfully. For some have already turned aside after Satan. If any believing man or woman has widows, let them relieve them, and do not let the church be burdened, that it may receive those who are really widows. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped, lacking in nothing. You may be seated. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, Paul is addressing how Timothy is to care for and relate to the various people in the church. He has told Timothy as a young man that when it becomes necessary to approach an older man, that he must do so as he would his own father. That is good, practical, sound advice. He tells Timothy when it comes to approaching a younger man that he is to deal with them as brothers. He is to approach older women as mothers and younger women as sisters with all purity. He then goes on to discuss what is to happen in the church in relationship to widows. And I mentioned last week that there is a little phrase that is used three times in verses 3 through 16, one time at verse 3, one time at verse 5, and one time at verse 16. It is the phrase, really widows, or some translations might read widows indeed. Paul is talking in these verses about women who are single primarily because their husbands have passed away, how the church is to deal with them. And he is telling the church that the church has responsibility to care for these widows. But it doesn't have a responsibility to care for all widows who might be in the church. He outlines widows who are really widows, or widows indeed. Widows who have need of the church's financial support are those widows who have no independent means. They aren't able to provide for themselves, and they may not have children or grandchildren that can provide for them. So these widows are destitute. They have no one to care for them. These widows also, Paul says, need to be godly. They need to be women who have a reputation for having a godly character. And he says these widows are the widows who are widows indeed, widows worthy of the church's support. He goes on to say that the primary responsibility for widows belongs not to the church, but to the family of those widows. If she has children or grandchildren, Paul says, let them first take care of the widow. It is the responsibility and duty of Christian children to care for their widowed mothers or their widowed grandmothers. And Paul says that there are two reasons for that. First of all, children owe their parents. Their parents have brought them up. Their parents have provided for them a roof over their head. Their parents have provided for them 3 square meals a day. Their parents have provided for them clothes to wear. Their parents have, perhaps in our culture, provided for tuition so that they might be able to attend college. And so Paul says that Christian children have a duty. And it is part of a duty that belongs to the fifth commandment, to honor fathers and mothers. One of the ways that we honor our fathers and our mothers is that we take care of them in their old age. He says not only do they have a duty to do that, but he also says that this is good and acceptable in the sight of God. In other words, God delights when a child or a grandchild takes up and provides for his widowed mother or grandmother. Paul gives 2 negative reasons in verse 8 in relationship to a family providing for its own widows. If anyone does not provide for his own, especially for those of his household, he is denied the faith. In other words, because our faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ, because we are His children, we have certain duties and obligations as godly people. And one of those duties, one of those obligations would be, as I already alluded to, would be to fulfill the responsibilities given to us in the fifth commandment, to honor our mothers and our fathers. He goes on to say there that the person who will not provide for those of his own household are worse than an unbeliever. Now, last week I quoted to you from a number of writers of the first century in which even the pagan writers, pagan philosophers in that Greek culture of Paul's day wrote how important care of parents were for the children. So even pagans do that. Even pagans would take care of their widowed parents. And so if we don't do that, Paul says, we're worse than unbelievers. Shouldn't it be true of people in the church that our standards and the way that we live should be higher than that of unbelievers? Why? Well, because we know the will of God. God has communicated His will to us, and as godly people, in order to honor and glorify Him, we want to be obedient to that revealed will. And so we have an obligation to care for our parents that is given to us in the Word of God by our gracious, heavenly, sovereign King. Now, in verse 9, many commentators see a change in subject. Paul is still talking about widows, but there is a disagreement among commentators as to whether or not he is talking about widows, the widows of verses 3 through 8, or another group of widows. I believe that he is talking about another group of widows in the church. And this group of widows that he is talking about in the church are those who will assist the church in its work. Now, he says in verse 9, but do not let a widow under 60 years be taken into the number, or some translations read, put on the list. Now again, is he talking about the list of widows who need financial support? Well, certainly it would be wise for the church to have that kind of list, particularly if it's a large church with many widows. Don't you think that in the Jerusalem church in the first century, that they would have found a list like that to have been useful and necessary? Because there were some, you remember, who were not being taken care of. Well, a list would help to alleviate that problem. You would see the names of the people on the list and make sure they got cared for. But I don't believe that that is the list he is talking about. And there are many reasons for that. One reason for that is because he talks about widows under 60 years old being placed on this particular list. Well, then the question becomes, well, what about widows under 60 years old? What if those widows need financial support? What if they are destitute? What if they are godly women and they need financial support and help from the church? You mean you can't give that to them until they're 60 years old? No, I don't believe that that's what he is saying here. He is talking about a list of widows who are going to be involved in helping the church. And so in relationship to these people, to these women who are going to be taken into the number, who are going to be placed on the list, they need to be at least 60 years of age. That is, they have to be women of maturity. And Paul's going to explain a little later on why this is important. That it has to do with those who are of younger age and their desire to remarry. And they will not, if they take a vow to the Lord and to the church, to be those who will remain single, to be those who will be involved in service in the church, if they take that vow and then they later want to remarry, Paul says, then what will they have to do? They'll have to break that vow. And what does the Bible tell us about the breaking of vows? It's better not to make a vow than to make a vow and not pay it. And so he says that these widows on this list, these servant widows, are to be 60 years old. Or he puts it negatively here, do not let a widow under 60 years old be taken into the number. And not unless she has been the wife of one man. That is, it reads literally in the Greek, a one-man woman. Now, if that sounds familiar to you, it's because in relationship to elders and deacons, they are to be one women men. And so here, these ladies that are going to serve in the church need to be those who are one-man women. That is, while they were married to their husband, they were faithful to that husband. Now, it doesn't mean that those who are widowed in young age cannot remarry, but it always means that while this person was married, that she was faithful to her marriage vows. He also lays down the requirement. This is the third one. She can't be under 60. She has to be a one-man woman. She must have a reputation for good works. That is, her excellent character and service was to be common knowledge in the church. Now, let me just say something here about the church. And I think this is very important. There are some people who think that it's not important for them to be a member of any local congregation. It's not important for them to be a member of a particular church. Well, let me ask you this. If you aren't a member of a particular church and a member of a local congregation, how are you going to be qualified to be involved in the election of officers in the church? You won't know these men who are supposed to be men of certain character. They'll be strangers to you. How are you going to know who's going to be qualified to be on this list of godly servant women if you don't know those women? They have to have a reputation for good works. And that means that in relationship to the church, these are women who are serving the church already and doing good things that Paul is going to list for us later on. There is an example of such a woman in the scripture, a woman by the name of Dorcas. And I cannot find the scripture verses I had written down in relationship to her. Here it is. It is in Acts chapter 9. We read about this lady in Acts chapter 9, verse 36, that she was a woman full of good works and acts of charity. When she died, the whole community mourned, and in their grief they sent for Peter. And when he arrived, we read, all the widows stood by him weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. After Peter miraculously brought Dorcas back to life, he called the saints and widows, it says in Acts 9:41, he presented her alive. But the most important point about this woman is that she was a woman of charity, a woman of good works. And her good work was to make tunics and garments for widows. Very important items to have in those days. Now, in relationship to the good works, Paul says this about her. First, she must be one who has brought up children. And the Greek word translated brought up children is a word that means to nourish children. It is a woman who has not only nourished the children by feeding them food, but she is a woman who has nourished her children by teaching them the scripture. Like Timothy's own mother and grandmother. She was concerned not only about their physical well-being, she was also concerned about their spiritual well-being. She has brought up, she has nurtured, she has trained her children. Now, Paul here doesn't depreciate women who are unable to have children or who had the gift of singleness. But Paul is saying here that a woman to be put on the list is a woman who has brought up, has nourished children. A woman who has been single is able to fulfill that qualification in relationship to the children in the church and the way she helps the children in the church. If she involves herself in helping the parents bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Or, at least in that culture, when there were more orphans than there are in our day and age, she helped nourish and bring up children who were orphans. Second, she must be one who has lodged strangers, or one translation says, has shown hospitality to strangers. Like those who would be elders, she must be devoted to hospitality. Her home must be open to strangers as well as friends and relatives. Easy to open your home to friends and relatives. Maybe not. It should be easy. It's more difficult to open up your home to those people who might be strangers to you. But again, let me remind you, in that culture, in the first centuries, there weren't hotels and motels like we have in our country today. And so that when There were Christian people who were traveling from one place to another. When these itinerant preachers were traveling from one place to another, they needed a place to stay. And he is talking about helping people like that and opening your home to a brother or sister in Christ traveling from one place to another. You might remember that Paul commended Phoebe as a helper of many and of myself as well. In other words, Phoebe was one who opened her home to strangers. Phoebe was one who opened her home to the Apostle Paul. Third, she must be one who washed the saints' feet. Now, most of you know, because you've heard sermons on the foot washing that Jesus did, that to wash someone's feet was something a slave did. When people came in to a household, and if that home had a slave, it would be the responsibility of the slave to wash the feet of those people who were there for a visit. Now, why was that important? Well, because streets were dusty and dirty. People wore sandals or they went barefoot, which meant their feet got sweaty and dirty. Now, we know how wonderful it is, and I'll do this afternoon, to go home, to kick off your shoes and take off your socks. Just makes you feel better, doesn't it? Well, in that culture, to have your feet washed would make you feel better. It would be something that would be very refreshing. And so this is a woman who is humble, and she is willing to do the most menial of tasks in order to make her visitors comfortable. He goes on to say she must be one who has relieved the afflicted. And the word that is translated afflicted there is a word that means under pressure. She devotes her life to helping those who are under any sort of pressure, whether that pressure be physical, whether it be mental or emotional. She is willing to help. She relieves the afflicted. And the word relieve there is a word that has to do with financial assistance. If she is a wealthy widow, a widow of means, and has the ability to assist that person financially, she is not reluctant to give financial help. Finally, she must be one who has diligently followed every good work. In other words, she is noted not only for her good works that she does occasionally, but her life has been devoted to doing what is good. Doing what is good so that she might honor good, doing what is good so that she might express in very practical ways love for her neighbor. The Bible tells us that we are to do good to all men, but especially to those who are of the household of faith. And this woman is diligent to do good to those who are members of God's household. Now, I'm going to stop there. We'll finish up with this next week. But let me just say this. In relationship to this list and these widows who are on that list, it should be that all Christian women would want to live up to these characteristics and qualities. I mentioned this in relationship to the men. We should all be faithful to our wives. Well, the same is true for women. You should be faithful to your husband. That we know that is good and pleasing to God is something that He requires in His Word. That when we take our marital vows, we take those vows seriously and we are faithful in fulfilling those vows. And so, when a woman is married, her relationship with her husband must be characterized by faithfulness. And if God has blessed that woman and her husband with children, she must be a woman who has helped her husband bring up those children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. She must be a woman who is known for her good works. She is dependable. She is reliable. You can count on her. And when assistance is needed, she is willing to give that assistance. She is a woman of good works. She is a woman of hospitality. She is a woman of humility. She is a woman who is concerned about others and, if able, relieves those who are afflicted. Those things should be characteristic of every godly woman. Why? Well, because if you are going to be put on the list, if you are a widow, not a widow, but if you are a woman in that day and were going to be put on that list when you hit the age of 60, where you took a vow in the church to be a servant in the church, then these things were going to have to be characteristic of you. And how were they going to be characteristic of you if they weren't characteristic of your life up to that point? And so, ladies, these things ought to be characteristic of you. And the young women, those of you who are not married, these things you ought to have in mind as you are living your life. And if God should grant that you marry, that you know that when you take your marriage vows, you are to be faithful. You know that already, I'm sure, because you've been brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And that when you have children, when God has blessed you with those children, that you bring them up to know Christ and to walk with Him. Now, Paul is going to have more to say in relationship to these widows. And he goes on to say, beginning in verse 11, that there are some women who are not to be put on the list. He says in verse 11, but refuse the younger widows. And then we'll talk about that next week. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this very practical advice given under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that Paul gives to Timothy in relationship to how he is to conduct himself in the church, how he is to conduct himself with the various people in the church, and particularly at this point with those who are widows and those who are to be placed on a list of those who would serve the church. Father, we pray that you would help us to learn from what Paul has given to us by way of instruction, that we, as your people, might know how we are to conduct ourselves in the church, which is the pillar and ground of the truth. Father, we pray that you would bring glory to yourself as the church is your family, and as we in the church love one another, and as we treat each other as we would family. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.